What a great song. Not a... We share, we're going to look at this thought of what causes us to be content. What has helped you to be content? And we're going to look at that out of the book of Psalms. And that's the question. Those that are here know I usually ask a question. I gave you the question ahead of time. So please don't think about that, the whole message now, and not listen to the message this morning. All right. But Thanksgiving, a time to reflect, a time to be thankful for what we have. But this morning, as we look at this portion of Scripture in Luke 17, it is one that most people in this room have read through before, have heard some lessons and some messages about before in the Luke 17. But I want us to look at this thought of why we're not thankful. As we do so, we're going to look at several points. We're going to look at what we were. We're going to look at what we need. And we're going to look at this idea of what our reaction should be in regards to the truths that we're going to look at this morning. I think one reason we're not thankful this morning, we're going to get into many reasons as we look at this, is because we truly don't realize where we came from. We don't really realize where God took us from and rescued us from. But we have become very unthankful people in America today. Do you know it used to be very common when someone hold the door for you, you would say what? If someone would do something for you, even if it was the smallest thing possible, what would you say? And you would normally in the older days, if someone did something nice to you, write a thank you card. Now, some of you go, what's a thank you card? All right, you can send a thank you text today and a thank you email, all right? But a thank you card, they used to be little like cardstock things and had thank you on the outside, and some had little frilly things in there, and you could write a nice little note inside, all right? Some of you go, how do you write? I just type, all right? So you can email it. But we used to be thankful people. We used to be very thankful and grateful for what we have. We used to tell our spouse, we used to tell our kids, we used to tell our parents when they did something for us or to help us, we used to say thank you. But now we've come to take everything for granted. You walk to you go to the store, someone opens the door for you, if they do this day and age, some don't. But how many people you open the door for and they just walk through like, it's owed to me. Don't you know who I am? I'm walking through this door. You should be bowing to me, right? That's our concept. Now, none of us say that, but that's the way we're thinking. We've gone through things and someone does something nice for us. Very seldom do we say, thank you for taking care of this. Thank you for doing this. When's the last time you truly said thankful to whoever cooked your dinner? Your kids say, what? All I do is complain because I have to eat green beans. I have to eat Brussels sprouts and asparagus in those trees called broccoli. I have to eat those things. And we don't say thankful. We say, well, I have to eat this. This is what dinner is. When's the last time we said thank you for preparing? Thank you for making this dinner. Thank you for doing that. What, you see, we have gone away from an attitude of gratitude. We've gone away from a thankful spirit. We've gone away from being thankful, and ultimately, we're not even thankful to God for what God has done for us. If you're able to, please stand with me. Luke chapter 17, as we read just a few verses this morning. Luke chapter 17, starting in verse number 12. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Heavenly Father, we love you. And we thank you for your precious word. Lord, as we look at this portion of scripture this morning, I ask that you would illuminate your words to us. Lord, I ask that you would help us to see some truths that we need to glean and apply to our hearts and lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As we look at this thought, why aren't you thankful? I want us to look at this first point found in verse 11 and verse 12, what we were. I believe one of the reasons we're not thankful because we don't remember where we came from. Look again with me, verse 11 and verse 12 of our text this morning. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. I want you to see these individuals. As Jesus is going, and as he's going his steps and going through, leading up to where he's going to end up going. And now those that are here Wednesday night, we're going to get into this even more details when we're looking at the 52 steps from glory to glory. And we're tracing the steps of Jesus on Wednesday nights. Here as he comes here, that's a commercial. Here as we come here and we see this, I want us to understand Jesus is going in the direction he's supposed to be going. But as he goes, he sees these 10 lepers. Now, we understand what this is. This is a disease that affected the skin, but a disease that didn't just affect the skin. It started to eat alive the person. And it would just, not the skin, but it would go inside as well and start to eat organs and start to eat things. This was a disease that was highly contagious. This was a disease that would affect the individual. And they were afar off because they were outcasts. They were not able to be around anyone else because of the disease that they had. They were desperately in need of something in their lives. They were have a disease that was affecting them. What a picture. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. I want you to see a comparison. Ephesians chapter 2. As we look at this truth here, in Ephesians chapter 2, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in the trespasses and sin, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we have had our conversations in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. What were we? We were dead in the trespasses of our sin. You see, the picture of the leopards, and we don't have time to do a whole lesson on the leopards and how that affected and all the disease and all that there, but we understand the picture there. That disease pictures sin. It pictures sin and what sin does in our lives and what sin does to us. And sin alienates us. It separates us from God. It's because we were dead in the trespasses of our sin, as Ephesians says. Do you understand this morning when you were born? You were not born right with God. You were born a sinner in need of a Savior. Your sin, my sin, has separated us from God. We're not all the children of God. We're not all going to go to heaven. That's not the truth of the Word of God. We were born dead in a trespass of sin. We were blinded because of our sin. We did not even know that we were lost. One of the first steps of getting saved is realizing that we're lost, realizing that we're separated from God, realize that because of the sin in our lives that has taken us away from God, and there's no hope apart from what Jesus Christ can do. It's our sin, dead in the trespasses of our sin. We are the children of wrath and disobedience. We were not the children of God. We're the children of the devil, if you will. Because our nature is a sin nature. It's not a holy nature. It's because of sin we're separated from God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's our sin that has separated us. God. That's what we were. We weren't good people. No, there's none good. There's none that doeth right. You're not righteous. You're not good. All our works are as filthy rags, the scripture says. Everything you've done and I've done is not going to measure and help us in one way to bring us closer to God, because we are sinners. As much as you try to be a moral person, that morality will not bring you to God. As much as you try to be an ethical person, that will not bring you closer to God. As much as you try to live right and do right, you're building your own righteousness, and your own righteousness and my own righteousness is filthy rags. It's waste. It's rubbish, as Scripture says. It's done. It's not worth anything. That's what we were. We're not getting better. We're getting worse. This world is not getting better. It's getting worse. It's decrepiting. It's coming down. It's falling apart. The human race is not getting better. People are not getting more godly. People are going away from God. We're not getting closer to godly principles. We're going far away from godly principles because of our nature, because of who we are. Because of what we were, because of our sin in our lives. What were we? Because we're dead in the trespasses of sin, we're hell-bound. We weren't heaven-bound. We were hell-bound. To be separated from God for all of eternity. I understand there are good people in this world. But if they don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and before you and I received the Lord as our Savior, we were not going to go to heaven. There's going to be many that come unto Him. And He's going to say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. You're not going to come into my heaven because you have sin in your life and you never put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You might have cast out demons. You might have done this good work. You might have done this, but you never put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're hellbound. That's what we were before Jesus. We need to be reminded this morning, the reason we're not thankful is we forget where we came from. We forget where we were. The leopards, I believe, and as we get into this, we're going to see some that, one that turned and said, thank you. Nine that didn't. Jesus, where's the nine? Didn't I heal 10? And the reason was, is because there were some that did not realize and remember where they came from. We do the Lord's Supper, and it says, do this in remembrance of me. And the purpose is for us to remember him. We have the elements that are used. The juice, the fruit of the vine, and the bread. To represent what? The sacrifice and what Jesus did to save you and to save me. The picture is what the leopards were. They were leopards. They were outcasts. They were sinners in need of a Savior. You and I were outcasts, separated from God. We were sinners in need of a Savior. But look at verse 13. What we need, and what do they need? And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. You know what they needed? They needed Jesus. And they needed the mercy of God. You see, what were they? They were sinners. What were they? They were outcasts. What were they? They were separated from God. They were hellbound. But what did they need? They needed Jesus. And they needed God's mercy upon them. They had no other hope. No one else had anything to do with them. But as Jesus was coming by, he saw them afar off, and he heard their cry. Go back with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse number 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. You see, what do they need? They needed the mercy of God. They needed God's mercy. But God showed his mercy upon us. Even while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. God showed his mercy upon us in our lives. You see, when the leopards were coming by, they cried, God, have mercy on us. You know what we need? You know what this world needs? We need to remember where we were. But we need to also see what we need. We need Jesus and his mercy. If it wasn't for God's mercy this morning, if you're saved, you would not be saved if it wasn't for God's mercy. God is rich in his mercy, where he bestowed his mercy, his grace upon us. We have to realize we need Jesus. You see this morning, and we're going to look at another point here as we get into this, but we need to see this morning, we don't need a religion, we need Jesus Christ. We don't need man's philosophy this morning. We need a relationship with the one who died for us and rose again the third day to offer the only way of salvation. We don't need to become religious. We need to become saved by the blood of the Lamb. We need to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and him alone. You see, what they needed was Jesus. They didn't need just a physical cleansing. They needed a spiritual cleansing. You see, what we need this morning for this world and the world we live in, and if we understand what we need, we would be more thankful for what we have in Christ Jesus. But we don't need just an exterior cleansing this morning. We need an internal cleansing. What we needed was not some group to help us get our life back on track. We needed to have a heart transplant. What we needed is a change that only Jesus can give. Since Jesus came into my life, What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus, and there's another song we sing, a great, great change, change. And there's a great change that's taken place in our lives. There's a great change that's happened in our lives since Jesus Christ came and saved us because of his mercy in our lives, what we were. But what we need is Jesus. My hope is not in a church building this morning. My hope is in the Lord. My hope is not in any religious talks this morning. My hope is in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the reason we're not thankful because we don't realize where we came from. We're not thankful because we don't even fully understand that we need Jesus. We think we got everything we need. We think we have all we need in America today. We think as long as I can pay my bills, as long as I can do my certain things, as long as I have religion, as long as I have church, as long as I have even salvation to that point, I'm good. I got my get out of my jail free card, and I'm good and ready to go. But we're not thankful because we don't realize what we were and what we need. If you're saved this morning, we need to be reminded we needed Jesus. Because if it wasn't for Jesus, you would not be here this morning. If it wasn't for Jesus, you wouldn't be saved this morning. If it wasn't for Jesus, where would we be this morning? We would not be where we're at. But it's because of Jesus, we are where we're at in our lives. You see, the lepers cried, "Have mercy on us." I'm so glad when you and I called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that we shall be saved. I'm so glad when we said, "God, have mercy on us." God says, "I'll give you my mercy. I'll bestow my mercy." Look at this in verse 13. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourself unto the priest." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Do you know what they needed was Jesus? And what Jesus did was cleanse them. It was faith that they had, and he says, because of the faith, you're cleansed. Do you know we must put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning to be cleansed? Amen. That's the only way you and I can truly be cleansed this morning, is putting our faith in him. Let me ask you, have you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you been saved by the blood of the Lamb? I tell you, I know sometimes in a room like this and with people that come almost every week and those there, sometimes we take this for granted. But let me just tell you, I think we need to look at this, because I think one reason people aren't thankful this morning, because some people aren't truly saved this morning. There's never been a time in life when they truly put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, I'm not trying to get anyone to doubt their salvation this morning, but I do think we need to examine ourselves to make sure that we're of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ, have salvation through him, not trusting anything else. I think a lot of times our young people have gone through church, and sometimes they've never made a personal relationship. Hey, mama ain't going to get you to heaven. Daddy ain't going to get you to heaven. The church isn't going to get to heaven. Pastor ain't going to get you to heaven. It's only Jesus Christ that can save your soul. It's only faith in him and him alone for salvation. But God, who's rich in mercy, he saw them. He heard them. And you know what? God hears us when we call upon him. And God saved them. God cleansed them. God made them whole. It was their faith as they went to the priest. They were cleansed because they didn't even see the cleansing right away, but they were cleansed. And the priest saw that they were cleansed. What faith they had. But I want you to see, what should our attitude be? We could spend a lot of time on those points. That was just leading up to the main thought I want us to get this morning. Look at verse 15 and verse 16. And one of them, when they saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. You see, I believe each of these men saw they were healed. I think sometimes we look at this portion of Scripture and say, well, they didn't realize what they had. But they saw that they were healed. They saw this. They had the faith to go. And they heard the priests show and say that they're cleansed. And they saw this. And I think that's a lot like most of us. The reason we don't say thank you to God and we're not thankful is because we know we're healed, but we totally don't comprehend what Jesus has done. You see, they knew they were healed. They knew God healed them. They saw that their skin was cleansed. They saw the change that Jesus made. I think many times in our lives, we've seen the change that Jesus made. We've seen that we've gotten saved. We've seen the burden been lifted. We've seen the spirit that God gives us. We testify, and 1 John says we can know that we know that we know that we have eternal life because of what Jesus Christ has done. And we've seen that. We thank God for that at times. But man, as we go through, we start to get busy with life and we forget what Jesus did. We forget the healing that he did and we don't totally comprehend what Jesus did. You see, we see that one turned, but the others didn't turn. So as we look at this, what should our attitude be? Our attitude should be that of gratitude in our lives. You see what we were, we see what we need, and we see what our attitude should be. Our attitude should be that of gratitude. It should be that of saying thank you. And so we're going to look at this one that said thank you, and then we're going to look a little more at the ones that didn't say thank you. The one that said thank you, what did they do? He turned back after he was cleansed, and he thanked God. We're going to look at his actions because his actions are important in our lives. But before we get to that, the end of that verse says what? He was a Samaritan. That is important. Because I believe the others were Jews. I believe the others knew and they heard more about the rabbi, the master. They knew more about Jesus. They understood more about what was happening and what was going on than this Samaritan. This Samaritan was a mix, was a mutt, if you will. It was not this. And this Samaritan, in and of himself, not just because of leopards, he was an outcast because of who he was. Yet he realized what Jesus did for him, and that caused a deeper thank you than others that just left. You know what the picture I see this? Some of you are a little more thankful in life because you've seen things differently than some others. Even though you're all saved by faith, all saved the same way. But I tell you, I've met some people that are more thankful because they realize what God saved them from and what God saved them out of. Because they got a hold of it. They got a hold and they really saw it. And he was a Samaritan and where he was at. I think the idea is this. We got to get a hold of this morning of who you were and what we truly were. And realize you're a wretched sinner. You weren't a good sinner. You're a wretched sinner. And realize where we would be if it wasn't for Jesus. And where he saved you from and what he saved you out of. Now I understand some were saved at younger life. Praise God and thank God for that, because you don't have to go through some of the same garbage that some of us had to go through. I'm glad God saved you at a younger age. I'm glad God saved you. And sometimes we say, well, I wasn't a murderer, I wasn't a drunkard, I wasn't this. But God saved you from those things. Some of you were saved older in life, and you went through and you were involved in some things that you wish you never had to be involved in. But you thank God that he saved you out of that. You thank God that he saved you out of the miry pit. He set your feet upon the rock. He saved you out of the gutter. And he saved you to the uttermost. You praise God for that in your life. But you see the Samaritan. He got a hold of his cleansing. And when he got a hold of his cleansing, it changed his attitude. What did he do? Look at this attitude that was produced in his life. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God. Do you know what we need to do? Because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, because we realize what we were, we realize what we need, it should affect our attitude. We ought to be glorifying God. We ought to be shouting from the mountaintop, I serve a risen Savior. We ought to be shouting from the mountaintop, I serve a God that pulled me out of the miry pit and set my feet upon the rock. We ought to be shouting from the mountaintop what God has done in our lives, glorifying God and telling people there's a great God that loved you and died for you and rose again the third day. I want you to tell you about my Jesus and what my Jesus did for me. I want you to know that I was headed to destination in the lake of fire, but Jesus saved me. Praise God. Glory belongs to Him. I'm so thankful to my God for what He's done. I'm going to shout it and let people know about the greatness of my God. I tell you, we're not thankful this morning because He looked, He saw, He comprehended, He understood what His healing entailed, and because He understood what His healing entailed, it changed Him to turn from the others and turn from His busy life and turn to go back to His freedom and turn from those things and turn back and tell Jesus, I'm thankful for what You've done for me. He glorified God. Now let's look at this. He glorified God not just with a speech. And I believe the attitude of gratitude we need to have, we need to thank God with our speech. We need to shout it from the mountaintop. But I want you to see something else. As we look at this here. Verse 16, and fell down on his face at his feet. You know what this means? He didn't say, thank you, and go his way. He said, thank you, and glorify God. And he went back to the one that's cleansed him. And he fell down and he worshiped the one. He bowed down at his feet and he worshiped him and he glorified him. Not just with his speech, but with his action. We're not thankful this morning because we aren't worshiping Jesus. Thank you, Lord. But don't ask me to come at your feet. We'll shout it, but it hasn't changed us. See, as he looked, as he saw, as he understood his healing, he said, thank you, Lord. He glorified the Lord with his mouth, but it brought him down to his feet and worshiping God and saying, God, thank you so much for what you've done for me. He was at the feet of Jesus. I think sometimes in our lives, we got to get back to the feet of Jesus. We got to get back to where we're worshiping God. We got to get back to worshiping both the Spirit and truth. We got to get back to that place where there is some emotion back in our glorifying God. I tell you, we've gotten so worried about being called charismatic. We got so worried about this and that, that we no longer worship God with some emotion and some life. We've become a bunch of deadheads. And we need to get to a place that we have some life and excitement back of serving God and worshiping God and praising God. And he changed. And he came to the feet of Jesus. And he realized, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. He realized he didn't deserve it. He realized he was a Samaritan. He realized he was a leper. He realized those things. And he said, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. He glorified God and thanked him for it. Look a little further here. I want you to see this. Giving him thanks, he fell down on his face and at his feet, giving him thanks. The attitude of bowing down before him. The idea of submitting to him. Humbling self, realizing, I need you, Jesus. Do you know that's what we need to do in our lives? Lord, I need you. You see, we're not thankful because we don't realize we need the Lord. But did you get this? As he worshiped, he gave thanks. As he was on his face, as he was at the feet of Jesus, he gave thanks. There's got to be action in our lives, not just verbal. And we got to get to a place that we are worshiping God both in spirit and truth and giving him thanks. The Bible tells us we're to have a thankful spirit. We're to be thankful. And we could go through all those verses that talk about thankfulness. Because at the time we won't. But there's a lot that tells us that we need to be thankful. But what does being thankful look like in our lives? Being thankful in our lives looks differently than being unthankful. Thankfulness means this. Get this. This is so complex, I know. It means that we put a smile on our face and we say, Lord, I don't understand what and why you did what you did. But Lord, because of that, I'm going to serve you and live for you as a thank you to you. I'm not going to live my own life. You see, Jesus says, where are the other nine? You know what the other nine did? They saw their healing. They saw what Jesus did. And now I believe they had some appreciation for what happened. Because now they're not outcasts anymore. But it wasn't enough to change them or get them to come back to Jesus. What did they do? They went back to the temple. They went back to the religion. They went back to the law. They went back to those things. And they didn't come to Jesus and say, thank you, Lord. They went back to the business of their lives. They went back to the rituals. They went back to the things they were doing before. It didn't change them. It didn't stop them. And they didn't bring them to a place and say, Lord, thank you. And they didn't worship Jesus. They went and they went back to their busyness of life. I think many times in our lives, we're like the other nine. Oh, if you're saved, I don't think any of us are not thankful for our salvation. Because we get to be in heaven. But I don't think we've gotten a hold of it enough where it's changed how we live, how we serve, what we're doing. Because we've gotten into the state of mind, I'm glad for my fire insurance policy. I'm glad I'm not going to hell. I'm glad Jesus pulled me out of the mire pit and set my feet upon the rock. Oh, I'm so glad for that. But don't let that affect how I live. Don't let that affect how I serve. I'm not going to have an attitude of gratitude. Yes, I'm thankful, but my thankfulness should not affect my action. Yes, it should. Your thankfulness, your appreciation for what God has done for you, the love that God has bestowed you and showed you, ought to affect our actions daily in our lives. If I'm truly thankful, I'm going to serve God. I'm not going to serve myself. Do you know we have a lot of believers today serving self instead of serving God? Because we're not thankful. You say, how do we serve self? I worry about more about my needs than I do about what I need to do to serve God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. I'm more concerned about what I need done, what I have time for, than giving of my time to serve God. I care more about my hobbies, my interests, my this, my that, than God. Well, preacher, I don't think that's true. Well, I do. Because if I'm truly thankful for God, God comes first. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The Bible tells us put God first. You see, the start is putting God first, the fear of God, the knowledge of God, putting God where he ought to be. And if we're truly thankful, I'm going to be at Jesus' feet before I'm at anywhere else, anybody else's feet. I'm going to be at Jesus' feet worshiping him before I am at some activity and some other things I'm involved in. I'm going to be at Jesus' feet. I'm going to be where he wants me to be, worshiping him, serving him, than I am doing my own thing in life. You see, we're not thankful this morning. We're not a thankful nation this morning. We're not thankful believers this morning because we are worshiping at the feet of Jesus and we put other things before Jesus in our lives. You see, the other nine saw that they were healed, but it didn't affect them. I believe believers today know that God has saved them, but has not affected them to serve him and live for him and worship him. Because we're worshiping other things. We're falling down to other things. And we're not serving God as we should. We get busy. We have our own lives. We have our own things. Do you know we're busy for what we want to be busy with? Do you know why you're busy? Because you choose to be busy. Do you know why you don't have time for Jesus? Because you choose not to have time for Jesus. Because honestly, every one of us is guilty of this at times. I'm pointing all the fingers back here. Because you know there's things that we could cut out of our lives that we really don't have to be doing. Oh, we say we do. We say we have to take the kids to 500 different places. We say that we have to be involved in this social activity and that social activity and this and this and that. Oh, we have to go to this work thing and that thing. We say all this. But in reality, we choose to do it. And we choose not to have time for Jesus. Because even though there's some good things that we can get involved in, the first and most important thing that we need to be doing is at the feet of Jesus. If I'm truly thankful for what he's done for me, I'm going to find myself at his feet. And many times what we've done, we've allowed the busyness of our lives to keep us from being where we need to be. You see, the others let their freedom dictate, get this, the others allowed their newfound freedom to give them a license to do what they wanted to do. This individual, this is key, found his freedom, but his freedom caused him to see that he was now free to serve Jesus. Your freedom can do two things this morning. Your freedom in Jesus Christ can bring you to a place to do whatever you want to do. Give you a license to live your life. Or your freedom in Jesus Christ can bring you to a place that you realize now you're saved to serve Jesus. And that's where your freedom ought to bring you. I want us to look at that this morning. 90% of those individuals did not tell Jesus thank you. Only 10% did. In a church, I believe that is very typical of a lot of believers today. 90% don't say thank you with their lives. 10% do. 10% realize what they have and what Jesus did. That's why they're in church. That's why they're faithful to all services. Not because they're trying to get a pat on the back from the pastor or try to do this or that. Because they're thankful for what Jesus did. You know why 10% are doing what and saying thank you to God? By coming to church, and I understand there's things that happen. I understand I'm not unkind and unreasonable. I understand there's things that take place and sicknesses, and I understand that. But on a whole, if we're truly thankful, guess what we're going to be? Guess where we're going to be? Every time the doors of a church are open, guess where we're going to be if I'm truly thankful? Because I want to be in God's house, serving God, worshiping God, hearing from God's word. And I want to say thank you to the Lord. Not that you can't say thank you at home, but God gave the church for a reason and for a purpose. And I have to be thankful for that. You see, I'm going to be there. But that's 10%. They allow their thankfulness to be evident in their lives. 90% say, well, church is optional. Well, if church is optional, why did Jesus talk so much about the New Testament local church in Scripture? Why did he say not forsaking yourself assembling together? Why did he give the ordinances to the local church? Why did he give the commands and the things and the truths and the teaching? There's reason for the local church. Well, thankful, being thankful ought to be shown in our actions. But how many people today, 10%, really truly thankful by actually being involved in a church? Not just attending. Now we go to a little thinner. Out of the 10% that actually show up all the time the doors open, 10% of that 10% actually are actively involved. Wait a second. Where are we at? Didn't God save all of us the same way? Didn't God cleanse us from the inside and out? Didn't God save your soul? Didn't God set your feet upon the rock? Didn't God give you eternal life? Didn't God do those things in your life? But we're not actively serving God today. We're showing up 10%. But out of the 10%, we're not serving. I understand some older people can't do what they used to do. I understand that. I understand the health gets in there. I understand some of that. But every one of us, no matter what age we are, there's areas of service we can be doing. There's things we can be doing. We can be praying for the church. We can be praying for one another. We can be passing out tracts. We can put tracts in different things. We can keep serving God. We can keep supporting the work of God. We can keep doing those things and serving and realizing we need to be involved and we need to be doing to continue to see the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ glorified and lifted up. But many don't serve anymore. I have this to do, and I have that to do, and I have to take care of this, and I have to take care of that. If I'm truly thankful, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to serve God first. I'm going to put God where he ought to be, if I'm truly thankful. Do you know what? I could probably go without watching a TV program. I could probably go without going out to dinner. I could probably go without going to a sporting event. I could probably go without, and you could put whatever you want to put in the blank. But I can't, if I'm truly thankful, go without serving God, if I'm truly thankful. I gotta serve him because it shows my love. It shows my appreciation for what God has done for me. Do you know, out of the 10%, 10% serve God. But out of the 10% come to church and serve God, only 10% of the 10% of the 10% give the way we should give. You know what? If I'm truly thankful, you know what I'm going to do? God, I realize what you did for me. I realize you saved me. I realize where I was headed. Lord, and I say this every time we take the offering, this is a thank you to God. Do you know as I give, it's saying thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. This is a former coming to his feet and worshiping him and giving to him. Do you know the only 10% of 10% of 10% actually give the way we ought to be giving to God in regards to our finances, in regards to our tithe and our offerings and those gifts to God? oh, preacher, I can't afford to give, then you're not appreciating what God's given you. Why? Because me giving to God and saying, Lord, this is yours. I'm giving back to you. But Lord, I'm saying thank you for all you've done for me. And I'm appreciative. God has given us, and it has to do with our heart, as we said so many times. But it is giving and thank you to God. Say, Lord, thank you so much. You see, when you're appreciative of what God has done for you, when you're appreciative for something, guess what you give? What do you mean? You go to a restaurant and you get good service and you're appreciative, what do? You give. Now, we're not to tip God, and that's a whole nother message. If someone's done something nice to you, what do? You want to give them another gift. You want to give something back to them. The idea is this. Because of what God has done for us and we've gotten a hold of it, that I give out of a cheerful heart to the Lord. Not out of a calculated heart, but out of a cheerful heart. I know many say the tithe is 10%, and I understand the teaching is 10%. That's given. It's given in the Old Testament, it's given in the New Testament. That's the concept, that's the teaching. Do you know that was just what was expected? Do you know that was the bare minimum? Because in Scripture, it doesn't teach just about the tithe, it teaches about the offering. The tithe is what was expected. That was, this is no question, this is what I'm giving. You know what an offering is? Because of the thankfulness of what God did, they sacrificially gave an offering. They didn't just say, well, here's the 10%, here's this. Oh, God, I gave you what I'm supposed to give. Now I'm good. Woo, glory. No. They worship God. And what do? They gave beyond. They gave. Why did the widow give her mite? Well, that was her 10%. No, it wasn't. Why did others give what they gave? Why did someone give, sold the land and gave all? Why did he give all in the book of Acts? Oh, because that was his tithe. No, that was not his tithe. That was because of his thankfulness for what God was doing and what he wanted to see accomplished for God. And he said, God, I'm going to give you all. See, it has to do with this. It has to do with when I'm thankful. God doesn't have part of me. God has all of me. When I'm truly thankful, I don't give God partial or half-hearted service, but I give God my whole heart. I give him everything that I have. You see, Jesus said, were there not nine? Why would Jesus ask this? He already knew there was nine others. Jesus already knew who weren't there nine others. Jesus already knew that. But Jesus asked that for that individual to realize that the others weren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. But for that individual to realize he was doing what he should be doing. And for others to see, hey, we need to follow the example of this one, not the example of the nine. You see, these others were healed just as much as this man was healed. But this man realized what he had. I want you this morning to realize something. If you're saved this morning, so we looked at that first point, what you were, okay? We looked at that this morning. What were you? We looked at they were leopards. We looked at that we were sinners. We looked at what they needed, God to have mercy on them. What do we need? God to have mercy on us. We looked at what our attitude should be. It should be an attitude of thankfulness. And we looked at this thought of why and how our attitude should look in our lives. Let me ask you this morning, first and foremost, are you saved this morning? Second, if you're saved this morning, let me ask you, do you realize what you have? Do you realize what Jesus did? Thirdly, if you realize what Jesus did, has it affected your attitude of gratitude, of thankfulness? We're not thankful because we don't let it affect us. It's not shown, lived out in our lives. If it's lived out in our lives, it would be demonstrated far different than it's demonstrated today. Let me end with this. If I'm thankful, I'm going to show it. Now, Nathaniel, please come up here for a moment. Hurry. Sermon's going long because he's taking his time. Now, if I'm truly thankful for someone, what do I do if I'm thankful to someone? I tell them I'm thankful, right? I'm thankful for you, Nathaniel. Now, get back up here. You're not done. Now, wait a second. It's simple. It's silly. I know, but I want you to get the concept. What did I say? I said I'm thankful, but what did my actions show? I'm not thankful. Now, I want to ask you this. If I say I'm thankful, and I say I appreciate what you've done, and I pull this out, and I go in here, and I pull out this $20 bill, and I give that to Nathaniel, and I say, thank you, Nathaniel, I really appreciate it. Nathaniel says, no, I don't want that. I say, no, you can have it anyways because I'm truly thankful. He says, no, I don't want that. I didn't do that for this and those things. But I say, no, Nathaniel, please keep this and have that and have a seat. What does that show in my life? What does that show? It shows an attitude of true gratitude. That is the concept we need to get from this portion of Scripture this morning. Let's be thankful to God. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. Lord, I pray.